The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Chris Yancic from Long Island, New York, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles & More Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles & More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 492 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Chris Eliopoulos. Michelle is not around for this particular show, and Chris and I are continuing our little love it or shove it discussion, and love it is what you say when you have an idea for the Disney theme parks that you really like, and shove it is when you really don't like the idea. So Chris and I have been discussing a few things. We have a couple of ideas, and we're going to continue the discussion right now.
All right, so I'm going to go back to our discussion about which we may talk about is which is classics versus always moving forward, and how do you do that? I noticed as I was going through Tomorrowland the last time that it wasn't really a Tomorrowland anymore. You know, you've got Stitch, you've got Monsters, you've got Buzz. And really all there is Autopia. What's the overhead ride, the one that goes around and around and around up there?
Astro Orbiter?
Astro Orbiters and Space Mountain. And then there's the one I want to talk about, which is the Carousel of Progress. And my thought was that perhaps, and of course the stage, perhaps they gut the Carousel of Progress and reformat the timeline moving forward, starting in the 1980s and moving into the distant future, and then convert the stage area next door into like one of that old-time Innoventions kind of displays where, I mean, I remember when I was a kid I went there and they had like the first video phone conversations that you could have, and you could try upcoming and new technologies. And now that they've sort of gutted Innoventions, it seems lately, it might be a good win-win to kind of update a slagging attraction for a modern audience and then show where we could be leading with new technologies. You get companies that are showing, you know, their wares. They can show you what's coming up and have it right there on that stage because the stage barely gets used. It seems like a dead zone over there. So I thought maybe that Disney might want to do that. So what do you think, Mike? Love it or shove it?
Well, Carousel of Progress has a special place in my heart. It was the 1964 World's Fair. There's a long story that I related to a lot of people one time at Magic Meets about how it all came about and Progress Land and how Walt Disney needed. He had all this idea, all these ideas and all these technological ideas, but didn't have the money, and how the 1964 World's Fair gave him an opportunity to do a lot of things. And I've also talked about how the dioramas that are in Carousel of Progress need to be updated. And I think one time I thought about, gee, you know, maybe every 20 years they should take the oldest one, remove it, and replace that with the latest one. So every 20 years, one of the scenes would change, and we would have an updated change that would reflect today or the cutting edge. So in listening to what you're saying, I sort of love it. I think that it would be next to impossible for that to happen. I think it's one of those attractions that it's either going to go or it's going to stay. I don't think it's going to change. And I think that it is one of a handful of attractions in Walt Disney World and in Disneyland that have that status because of Walt's fingerprint on it. I think that Pirates is one, Haunted Mansion is one. I think that Carousel of Progress.
They've updated those as well, though.
Yeah, but very, very little. I just think that Carousel of Progress is a. I mean, they've updated those, Chris, but they've kept. But we can say that they have. They've added to them. We can say that they have embellished.
Plus them,
but a lot of the basic foundation parts of those attractions are there.
Small World, okay. Same thing.
Right. But if we change that in, we're talking about removing. We're removing famous scenes. We're removing something that Walt was there to personally, you know, approve. So I think that's the thing. And remember, about 12 years ago, they rededicated that attraction to him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
So I think that for that reason, I don't think it'll happen. I kind of love it. I'm sort of bit, like 51% love it and 49% right. shove it because of that reason. But I think it's time for that to change, yeah.
I mean, I always consider you like a traditionalist, you know, like somebody who loves the old-time stuff. And that's the constant battle that gets waged, right? It's the, you know, loving these old attractions, but when they become tired and old, you know, do we follow Walt's edict, which was, you know, always improve, always make better, always change if things aren't working? And, yeah. You know, I wonder sometimes, you know, if they do that, do they do it the right way or do they do it the wrong way? And then some, they just don't, you know. I mean, like, again, you go by there, there's not a lot of people that get in Carousel of Progress. Usually it's like, I'm hot and I need somewhere to go sit for, for a while, which is not what you want. You know, you want somebody to be excited and enjoy this attraction and not be the place where you rest your feet for half an hour. So,
I agree.
But I kind of thought you know, you would want the traditional there and keep it there. But
I'm good with it either way. I just
you don't think they'll do it though.
I don't think anything will change. I know that one time I talked with I think it was Jim Hill, and we were always worried about them closing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was Jim that found this out or I found this out, but we talked to someone, one of the supervising Imagineers, and that person said that there's a magic number that you always want to keep in mind when it comes to putting together a budget for each attraction. And right. each attraction has a certain budget for maintenance. And for the Carousel of Progress, there's a certain magic number that they never want to go above. If they go above it, then they felt that the powers, whoever in place at that time, might have been Dick What's-His-Face for Walt Disney World, they would have said, well, no, we're not going to spend any money on maintenance. We're just going to let it go until it completely breaks down. Then we'll get rid of it. So I think that there's a passion from a lot of the cast members for that attraction. And so I don't think that they'll ever let it go. So we'll see.
Never know. But all right. What's up for you?
All right. I think that there are a lot of things that are themeless in Walt Disney World, and one of the things that I think is themeless is the Tomorrowland Speedway. And I've often thought that's a wasted footprint. There's so much they could do back there. They need an indoor kind of theater for the Magic Kingdom, and I think that Tomorrowland Speedway is sort of straddles Tomorrowland and Fantasyland, and because of that, I don't think it belongs to any one land. It belongs to the park, and I've often thought that should be a place where they could put a nice theater and have some indoor entertainment, and I really think that that would be great. I think they could also make it into a combination theater and a restaurant, and I've often thought that, you know, I think it's time for those cars to go. I just don't like it. I just, you know, I mean, I can see small children enjoying it, and maybe yeah. that's the case. But I think it's time for that thing to go. I don't even know if Autopia is still around in Disneyland. I don't recall the last time.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
So I think, you know, and it's funny because you're talking about Carousel Progress, and I'm talking about
over in Tomorrowland. Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I say that is that I think that whatever they do to the Magic Kingdom, they have to keep in mind how best to disperse the crowds. And I don't know if the Tomorrowland Speedway is worth its value and the amount of footprint it takes and the amount of people it swallows on an hourly basis. I really think that it's something that could be improved at that area. And I don't know. I think that one of the reasons why they may not do it is because maybe it's cheaper just to keep the cars there and have that going. But I'm sure there's a lot of cast members who work that. But that's my love it or shove it. Do you replace the Tomorrowland Speedway with an indoor pavilion / restaurant.
Wow. I'm sort of torn on this thing. I tend to agree that the Autopia is just, or what, the Speedway, the, what's it called? The
Tomorrowland Speedway, I think.
Tomorrowland Speedway. Yeah, you know, it kind of stinks, right? Like, I mean, you get it behind the wheel, the car just rattles against that thing in the middle. Like, you can never seem to get it. It doesn't steer right. They're kind of lame go-karts that don't go very fast. And for little kids, it's great because they get to steer, right? I mean, it's like it's a little toy. But I think for Disney's sake, it's a people eater. Like, you can get through a lot of people on there and sort of keep things moving. And it, you know, eats up a lot of time for guests. So they, you know, the other attractions are a bit open. I don't know, though, about an indoor kind of attraction. I mean, I like the idea of an indoor attraction / restaurant.
I'm talking about a theater, Chris. I'm right. Talking we'd have a stage show.
Right. Like, so almost like, what is it? What's the place in Disneyland, the theater? Or a Hoop to Do review type of thing, right? Like you would go in and...
Well, they used to have the Tomorrowland Theater that used to be right around the corner from Buzz Lightyear, and they closed that down.
Right.
And so, and they used to have great shows there, especially during Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. So why not do that? You know, why not take advantage of that huge area? I mean, it's a huge area.
Oh, I know. I mean, it does. It takes up a big chunk of space. I'm just wondering if that's the kind of thing that people would want to go to there, you know, as opposed to putting up another, you know, big attraction. I mean, I would definitely, I mean, as an, like, now that I'm getting older, I would probably like, I mean, I'd love the idea of a show and a meal and stuff like that during the day. I think, you know, so many people want to go to the castle for lunch or breakfast or dinner, whatever. Having something else along that theme, like something, you know, big and futuristic to have an event there, I think that would be kind of cool. I'm talking myself into it now, I think. I tend to, you know, like when my kids were little, they loved going on there. They had to go. And it was interesting. Once they were tall enough to ride on their own, they were sort of like almost done with it. Now that they drive a regular car, they're just like, oh, please. So it's definitely geared towards a certain segment of a family.
Right. And I think you need to expand that. So what you could do is you could have on the side, you could actually have a walkthrough museum of the Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom through the years. And you can have old costumes and you can have, you know, pictures of rides and how the old tickets used to look like. You could do a whole bunch of things over there. I just think it would make better use of that park, and it would appeal to all ages. So
yeah. No, I mean, I like the idea. Well, I think definitely it's time for the Speedway to go, but... I guess it would be questionable what you would put in there that would, because that is a large space.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you want to have something that really does something there, but plus I think it would be good in terms of food, because I think they need a new food place in there anyway, something different to come up with. So, but all right, you ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one I it's funny, I was thinking of you and then I kind of got mad at myself for even coming up with this idea. My kids, as we've been going the last couple of years, are teenagers, and I've been constantly frustrated with the fact that we spend all this money to go to Disney World, and they spend most of their time walking around the parks looking at their phone and not looking around at what's going on around them. But I came up with this idea, which would probably shoot myself in the foot with it. But so last year or so, there was like a Pokemon Go app that came out. I don't know if you remember that one where kind of ran out of their house to go find Pokemon everywhere.
Dead bodies, yep.
Yeah, and so I was wondering if, like, Disney, you know, or Walt Disney World could do an app that's similar to that. You go around to the parks, you collect Disney characters, or, you know, or it has some kind of thing where it works with the cues of each individual ride. And so, like, when you have kids that are singing on a line for 45 minutes, they've got something to occupy them, and it's sort of interactive with the attractions. And you know, or they could get like tips about the attraction, or watch video from a webcam inside the attraction, or you collect special awards. Like, you know, when you get to all the attractions, you get like a little thing on there that lights up, you know, a special award, like something along those lines. You know, virtual pins. God knows everybody's into the pins. Just something to keep the kids occupied in those moments when they're just ready to complain because their feet hurt and they have to stand on a line. but I know for a fact that it would then carry over into the park itself, and kids would be walking around staring at their damn phones instead of looking at what's there in general. But I like the idea of having an app that's interactive with the parks. What do you think?
I think that that's a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. I think that on the one hand, you've got parents who would say, get your nose out of that phone. I'm spending a lot of money to bring you down here and get you into the parks and stay at a nice hotel room and feed you, and you're going to, you know, just stick your nose in that phone. So I think that's the sharp side of the sword. Yeah. I think the dull side of the sword is, for the younger children, or for the ones who are very impatient, keeping them occupied during the long waits would be nice.
In the strollers, you know?
I think that there are plenty of apps out there right now that can do that stuff. And so I don't know how much it would help. I just think that I think that anything that we would do, Chris, is a losing battle with these teenagers and the kids with the phones. So
even with the Disney app, you're constantly looking at your phone, looking at wait times. You're constantly looking to see what's available for the next Fast Pass. You're constantly there's so many people who are checking that app normally at this point that it becomes a real. I mean, obviously you're running around and almost bumping into everybody because no one's watching where they're going because they're looking at the phones. But you know, I just thought it was a great thing to kind of keep the kids from having meltdowns, give them something to do, especially on those long queues when you're just stuck there. And you know, I see people all the time using different apps for games, like that heads up thing where they put it over their head and they on the line, or they, you know, have other apps that keep them going. But yeah, I'm kind of done with them walking the park. So I'm sort of torn. I don't know if I love it or if I want to shove it. I'm sort of in the middle, which surprised me. I thought I was going to take one side of it, and I didn't when I started to think through it. So,
well, the other thing they could do is they could maybe add a little bit of an app, a game like thing to My Disney Experience. Maybe that would help.
Maybe I make it interactive with that as well. But again, like I said, it just turns every person into a zombie walking around. Maybe we should have instead of a zombie apocalypse, it's going to be an iPhone apocalypse. Everybody's just going to be zombies walking around with their phones. Crazy, crazy. So, all right, what's up with you? What's next?
All right, this will be my last one for this show. And I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I think I talked a little bit about this earlier in the show. I would like to see them do a revamping of Disney's Hollywood Studios. I think that it's a theme park that's still not sure what it wants, and I think a few things need to be taken care of. I think that they have designed that theme park just like all the rest. If you think about Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, it's like a wheel with a spoke with spokes. And you've got Tree of Life, you've got the Cinderella Castle, you've got World Showcase Lagoon, you've got the Great Movie Ride, and then on the outspokes you have the different lands. I think that they are working hard, but they still have a lot of work to do with the studios, and I think they need to be more defined in how they treat each portion of the studio. So this is what I am suggesting, that they take a moment, and even though I know that the Star Wars stuff going on and a whole bunch of other things, they start tweaking it.
Maybe they started twerking. Yeah, everybody maybe, starts showing up more
yeah,
often.
Yeah. So you have different eras of Hollywood so that you can show the progression of movie making and television. I think they need to say, okay, this is how things were in the 40s to the 60s. Maybe you take a 25-year period. Okay, this is how it was from the 20s to 1945. This is where it was from 1945 to 1970. This is how it was from 1970 to 95, and you know, or whatever. And you show progression, and so that again, my my objective here is to have the park appeal to all different ages so that the youngsters can go to, although I think Star Wars is, I don't think there's an age limit on Star Wars. I think everybody loves Star Wars. But, you know, you've got Pixar for the youngsters. You've got classic Hollywood for the older people. You've got the teenagers who love the action movies, the Marvel stuff or whatever. I think, I guess you can do that because that Marvel thing is characters only. I don't think it has anything to do. I'm not sure if that has anything to do with attractions.
I don't think anything Marvel related can appear in the park.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, but, I think anything Marvel related that was in existence at the time. Mm-hmm. Because you've got, what's his name? The Power Lord? Star-Lord?
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah.
Yeah, because he can appear. So prior to that agreement, you could have people there. So I think, Chris, I really think they could put Guardians of the Galaxy in the Tower of Terror. I think that's kind of a gray area, but I think they could do that. Anyways, that was my thing. Love it or shove it. You take the studios and you turn it into what was the original plan, and that is to be a rendition of Hollywood, how it was and how it's and how it has evolved, and insert some television attractions back in there because television has been they forgot all about television, and also have more interaction with the guests. I think that should be more of a performing studio. I mean, that's a big thing for them to do, but I really would love that.
I mean, they've definitely lost their way in terms of the theming of this park. You know, I mean, we always know Magic Kingdom is what it is. Epcot has always been sort of the World's Fair constantly. You've got Animal Kingdom, which is all about the globe, the world, and nature. And Hollywood Studios was supposed to be about the art and the passion of filmmaking. I think they could almost do what you're talking about in terms of like, so you know, if you go down the LA street, it does sort of have that retro old time movie feel, and you could sort of stick with that. And they, you know, they have Tower of Terror. I mean, obviously Rock and Roller Coaster doesn't fit that bill at all, but you could almost, you know, say it's a drive through old Hollywood or something like that. And then, you know, Star Wars is more of the 70s and 80s era of film, and then Pixar could be the, you know, the 2000s. So they could follow through that theming. I think, you know, they probably could take out like the Indiana Jones ride and attraction and put in something new there, and sort of make it retro in terms of television or even video. Like, it could go into even today, which is, you know, a lot of stuff is not just television. It's YouTube, it's online streaming, it's different things like that. They could sort of work into it. But yeah, I tend to agree that the idea of just shoving Star Wars in there because that's all the only place they could put it, and Pixar and on the other side because that's the only place they could fit it, really kind of throws Hollywood Studios into disarray. Like, I mean, they're doing it around all the parks too. I mean, Tomorrowland isn't Tomorrowland anymore. You know, and then
and Interventions isn't Interventions anymore. Either.
Right. Or even, you know, you go to the Sea, and it's really just a massive attraction based on a really good movie that doesn't have a very good ride. And, you know, you sort of kind of go, you know, what are you trying to be here? I thought, you know, with Epcot, is this educational? Is this infotainment? Or is this just another way to tack on more of your properties? But I think the biggest problem is they're starting to lose focus in all the parks. It's not about a certain thing. It's like an amalgam across the board. And I think if they did that, like you're saying, it would be a smart move just to sort of – you go in knowing what you're getting. I mean, you'd have to definitely drum up some of the attractions to really fit the modern park goer, especially the young kids who aren't probably want to going to listen to a lecture about – how, you know, the 1930s led into the talkies and, you know, yada, 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 whatever it may be. But if you made it fun for them, I think they would totally be into it. I think we need to give them a reason to enjoy it. And like you said, theme a park the way it's supposed to be. So I do love the idea of properly theming the park.
Yeah, what are they going to do with that, where they had the American Idol experience, you know?
Yeah, isn't that weird? It's just sort of, they have attractions that kind of die off, and they just, they don't even fill them back up. Like, what's the pavilion, that is the Body Pavilion in Epcot, where they just...
Wonders of Life. Yeah, I think that one of the problems, Chris, is that sometimes they... Someone jumps on a... I think that an attraction has to be timeless. I think that American Idol was not timeless. What was in there before then, Superstar Television, was timeless. They could change things. I mean, I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to see it, but I go on record as saying that 1990 and 1992, and maybe even 1994, I'd say, from 1990 to 1994... Hollywood Studios was better than it is now.
Well, now it's like three rides and a beer stand.
Yeah, three rides, a beer stand, and a very good fireworks show.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. But all I mean, right. I know they're trying to improve that one, but you know. Yeah,
so I kind of love the idea of them getting back to basics with the Hollywood Studios.
Yeah. I mean, they took out the hat. I mean, you would think the Sorcerer's Hat's gone. Maybe they were kind of going back into a. Really make it into a film and movie, and you know, I mean, again, it could be updated for today's audience. You know, the YouTube stuff, the online streaming, there could be a way to incorporate all of that into this. So, yeah. Do you want me to do one more, or is that done?
Why don't we? I think we've got enough for one show.
Okay.
So why don't we say that's Love It or Shove It, and what we would like is for the. Conversation to continue on Facebook. So for those of you who have been listening to Chris and I talk about these ideas, we would love your input on the Facebook page. Tell us what you think. Tell us you think we're all wet. Tell us you think we have some good ideas. Tell us what you would like to see. So because we know that as Disney fanatics, everybody out there is always thinking about what they would do if they had an opportunity to put their finger on a Disney theme park area. So, for Chris Haleopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.